welcome to this SearchSecurity.com podcast. I'm Carolyn Gibney. Today, we're going to count down the top five strategies for building a successful cloud IAM architecture. We're joined today by Phil Cox. Phil is Director of Security and Compliance with consulting firm System Experts in Sudbury, Massachusetts. Thanks for being here, Phil.
Thanks.
Before we get started, I want to mention that this podcast is part of our SearchSecurity.com Security School, which you can visit at any time by navigating to searchsecurity.com/securityschool. Phil, let's set the stage before we begin the countdown. What fundamentals should enterprises be sure to take into account before they start building an IAM architecture for the cloud?
Again, thank you, Carolyn, for inviting me to do this. From a strategic standpoint, you know, I currently and the foreseeable future see identity as the main aspect of identity and access management that's architected for the cloud. And what I mean is that it's architected in a fairly robust manner. It's typically consumed by many different types of applications and devices where the access management providers and consumers in the cloud tend to be very web-focused. Basically, I've yet to see a, so to speak, federated access management deployment in any of the enterprises I've consulted for, where I have seen federated identity. With that said, unless you're just dealing with web-type services, you're likely looking at identity as the main focus of your extending effort. And that's an important word, extending. It's necessary to remember that that's what we're talking about today, is extending your environment, not really duplicating or creating a new one from scratch.
Let's start the countdown. We'll work our way up from tip number five all the way to tip number one. So then tip number five, to build a successful cloud IAM architecture, you need to identify your consumers. Phil, what does that mean and why is that important?
Well, Carolyn, when extending your identity and access management, the first step is to identify all the things that will be consuming those services in the cloud. This entails understanding the requirements for those applications you're moving to the cloud, as well as those that you're planning on developing from whole cloth. Effectively, you'll need to develop a requirements list of the applications and what they need for identity and what, if anything, can be consumed for access management. The output will typically be a documented list of, you know, resources that are required. And real quickly, when you're thinking about, you know, what do I mean by identity, you know, there are a bunch of services, be it SAML, WS Security, you know, do my consumers, do they use Radius, TACACS, Microsoft, Kerberos? They're, you know, are they proprietary mechanisms? So it's identifying what those consumers will actually need to consume in that new environment. So that's what I mean by identifying your consumers. Figure out what the applications are. It could be applications. It might even be systems. It's identifying all of those consumers at the time and figuring out, this is the set of services that I need to have available.
Continuing on, item number four in our countdown of the top five strategies for building a successful cloud IAM architecture, identify your providers. Phil, who or what would be included in this group, and why is this necessary?
You need to identify all of the sources that you have for identity, as well as access management, that are used within your organization. That typically would be maybe an Active Directory, you know, could be a Novell Identity and Access Management or a Sun Access Manager. It might be your identities and access management may be done completely locally on the systems, thinking of, you know, Unix users and groups. So first off, you need to identify, what are all those sources that I have? Within the organization, you know, almost every company will have multiple identity providers, right? It's likely that you'll find, you know, most enterprises don't have many, if any, access management providers. So again, identifying those providers, you may have multiple identity providers. When we really get to the access management, they are going to be few and probably far between. Most of the time, when we talk about access management, it really is security group-based, thinking of, oh, I have Active Directory groups, or I have Unix groups, or something in that manner. So what would be included in that group? Primarily the identity providers that you have within your environment. And like consumers, right, what you'll need to do is you'll need to develop a documented list of what those providers have and their capabilities, right, as well as any access management providers, if you happen to have them, and what their capabilities are. And when I talk about capabilities, what I'm really talking about is how they communicate with consumers, right? Your consumers, as we talked about before, may consume like a SAML or a TACX or a Kerberos. Well, you need to identify which of your identity providers actually provide those type of, you know, resources that can be consumed by the consumers.
Okay, moving on with the countdown of the top five strategies for building a successful cloud IAM architecture. Number 3, identify any IAM gateways that will be needed. Phil, how should enterprises determine the need for an IAM gateway?
So this is, it's kind of nice. This part is pretty easy because if you've done step number 5 and then you've done 4, what you find is you find out what your needs are and then you find out what you have, right? And then when you map them across each other, then what you find out is you find out where your gaps are, right? And if you can determine all the components you need and what they can fulfill, when you create that matrix, right, you figure out what you need to provide in terms of either a gateway or a new provider. The reality is that, you know, you're probably, you've identified the consumer, so there will be nothing new there, right? When you think about architecting, now you're at a point you see a gap, and you have one of two options typically. You can either create a new provider, right, that will be used to facilitate those interactions, or, right, what we're talking about here is you may want to identify a gateway. You may say, oh, I've got a provider, I've got an Active Directory, right? It doesn't support this consumer. What I'll do is I'll put an identity or access management gateway in there that will do that translation for me. So really, the way an enterprise determines that is they find the gaps between their consumers and their providers, and then they make the decision, do I want to do something new, or can I gateway my existing providers to meet that consumer need? And for the most part, I recommend, you know, using gateways, because then all the processes and procedures dealing with that identity of that current provider is already there. It's not something new that you have to roll out.
Okay, Phil, we're getting close to the top of the list. Item number 2 on our countdown of the top 5 strategies for building a successful cloud IAM architecture is ensure policies and procedures exist to manage the IAM. So, Phil, what's the best way for enterprises to determine whether their policies will work?
This is probably the most important item that we've talked about, and most important for new things. When we talked about bringing new services into the cloud or potentially bringing a new provider in or a new gateway, existing policies may need to be modified to consider, you know, the specific environment changes, right? There may be minor tweaks to policies, right? There may be huge policy changes. One that comes to mind is your policies around password management may change. The fact that you're going to the cloud, maybe a public cloud, private cloud, that you're using cloud services may affect those policies. So it's important to look at that, to look at the policy aspect of things and think, does this new architecture change this in any way? And again, if we're bringing any new technologies or services in, we need to consider how those impact our policies, right? So kind of look at the new stuff and figure out, does this change policy, as well as how does the cloud environment change our policies, if at all, right? Then along with policies are procedures, right? Specific procedures will need to be developed for the new pieces, and changes to existing procedures will need to be, considered. The question I typically ask customers about is, can you actually do identity and access management the same way you used to? Does extending to the cloud change anything, right? If it doesn't, then your existing procedures work fine. If it does, right, then you need to modify those procedures, right, the daily operations for them to take into consideration what those changes may be. I think a lot of people actually extend things. They consider keeping things the same as they were, and the nuances of a cloud environment end up, you know, for all intents and purposes, biting them later on because they didn't take the time during that process to update those procedures as they needed. One of the things is you'll likely need to test those procedures as well. You know, my recommendation is that you test the entire provisioning and deprovisioning process against this new infrastructure, right? Check to see if the identities and the access management are working the way you expected. I think that's probably, you know, having that test scenario, create a user, give them certain permissions, be it on the system or using your access management technology. Did that actually get applied where you needed to, how you needed it to? What happens when you deprovision that user? Does it work? Was there something else? So the whole process of provisioning and deprovisioning should be tested in that environment, you know, according to the policy and procedures that you have.
So here we are. We've reached the top of the list. The number one strategy for building a successful cloud IAM architecture is ensure you are adequately monitoring the systems in the cloud. Phil, tell us what that means in practical terms and why it's important.
Much of the identity information, right, is likely logged into your identity provider systems already. Again, I use Active Directory as an example. You know, if you're using Active Directory, your Active Directory servers will have those basically authentication logs in them. It's the access management portion, as we talked about earlier. Typically, your identity will be potentially federated or, you know, kind of more robust. Your access management is likely done, you know, on the systems with the application in the cloud. It's going to be, you know, that portion that you're going to need to make ensure that you get back into a central, you know, kind of collector. Since it's likely that most, if not all, of the access management is done via the local system or application, these logs or events need to be integrated into your enterprise log management product. You know, effectively, you need to know where the log information resides and how to get it. You know, one particular aspect is now that you've got this cloud environment, you know, can you actually get your logs from those systems, right, into your central collector? You know, are there firewall rules? Is there an actual, you know, mechanism to do that? Is it done securely? So there's a lot around kind of the logging, you know, and I'll use the term auditing, you know, or accountability aspect that you need to consider for this. Probably, you know, all of the compliance issues that I are compliance, you know, ISO, PCI, all of that really have a heavy emphasis on your ability to track things that have been done. So when you're thinking about identity and access management and extending it into the cloud, right, yeah, you've got it, so you've got consumers and providers and gateway, all of this. Well, you also need to consider the aspect of being able to audit or track that information. And so you'll need to think about monitoring for many aspects, both operationally, troubleshooting, security, et cetera, and being able to bring that back into, you know, into the organization to have it run the way you're typically used to run and be able to manage things the way you need to.
Okay, let's recap our list of the top five strategies for building a successful cloud IAM architecture. Number 5, identify your consumers. Number 4, identify your providers. Number 3, identify any IAM gateways that will be needed. Number 2, ensure policies and procedures exist to manage the IAM. And number 1, ensure you are adequately monitoring the systems in the cloud. Phil Cox of System Experts, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Carolyn.
And remember, for more materials from this lesson or from any of our security schools, visit searchsecurity.com/securityschool. You can also listen to more of our podcasts on our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carolyn Gibney. Have a great day.